Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. Let's get into it. So guys, today's episode isn't going to be different from what we normally do. Today I'm just going to be chatting to you guys about 10 things I learned in my 20s. 20s being early 20s into late 20s now. This is a compilation of like 10 things that I've learned. I know that not many youngins listening to me, just based on my insights and my algorithm. But if you're listening to me and you happen to have a young one who you think could benefit from my experiences, do well to share them or listen together. Because honestly, I wish that these were things that somebody told me when I was young and wanting. So let's go into it. I mean, how did say the thing without further ado? So first and foremost is, you know, number one being the academic stuff should be taken seriously in secondary school / uni, and most especially like early uni as well. This is because honestly, I feel like when I was in secondary school, it was cool to be rude, it was cool to be deviant, it was cool to be a rebel. I mean, I am still a rebel, but all that to say, I feel like I wish somebody just told me that, okay, see, take this shit seriously. It wasn't as if I wasn't doing the best, like I was an average student just because I didn't put any effort. When I say I didn't put any effort, believe me, like I didn't even read for exams. I just, except if it was a course where I was like, or subject, sorry, where I felt like I was really struggling, because my goal was to just pass. And this is because of other stuff that I'm not ready to go into. So my goal was just to pass. So I didn't really put in so much effort. I didn't really read and take everything that serious and everything. I'm not saying that you should let the whole education and whatnot like swallow you. I feel like you can do that and still have a life, but definitely take it serious. I'm telling you, like, take it seriously. I feel like ordinarily, if not the Nigerian system of education and like the system itself is not designed to challenge you at such a young age, apart from, you know, passing your work and stuff. Because, you know, in the abroad overseas, like in the US, in UK, Canada, all these other places, you see, like when you're applying for secondary, sorry, when you're applying to go into uni, the things that are required to apply go beyond the academics alone. These are things like extracurricular activities, your own personal development, like what did you do, what kind of student are you, you know, what roles did you take in uni, in secondary school, sorry, what roles did you take, any projects done, anything, like those are things that, you know, I needed to go into uni. And these things are not, shouldn't be looked at as natchy or doing the most or anything. These are things that actually make up a human, like in the long run, they are trying to form well-rounded people. So you ordinarily should have done one or two things. In my secondary school, there were sports and whatnot, but they weren't really center focus. The main thing was just pass your WAEC and leave. Do you get? Like even last week, this week actually, I saw a like testimonial of a colleague of mine who went to the same secondary school, and I saw that they wrote she was in, was it debate or something club, which really honestly did not exist. Do you get? Like I feel like it shouldn't, at the end of the day, it shouldn't be about, okay, so my uni can, or my secondary school, sorry, I keep saying uni, my secondary school can fake or hack anything that is necessary. It shouldn't be that. Do you get? It shouldn't be about, oh, they can just write whatever. I feel like we ourselves have to make it part and parcel of us. If it's that your secondary school actually have these clubs and nobody is joining them, be a pioneer. Be part. Make a voice for yourself. You'll be making a voice for others as well, you know, making a case for them as well. And if it's that there are actually these clubs and they are participating and stuff, but you didn't do anything, like, it's not enough to just say, okay, I will have it on paper, is what I'm trying to tell you. These things make you have some skills that in the future, like, you wouldn't believe it, but like being part of a basketball team has an array of skill that you would employ later on in the future. And I feel like this is something that we didn't really take seriously. Even when it comes to the academic, let's leave all the extracurricular stuff behind. When it comes to the academic, like someone like me now, I was just reading to pass. I wasn't really crazed about the whole, like, what I was studying or anything in secondary school. But honestly, since I've already gotten into that, I should have as well taken it more seriously. I should have taken the time to actually study, and you know. But again, I feel like the atmosphere of my secondary school wasn't that very intense. And to be fair, based on the experience of my siblings and having conversations with them, I feel like maybe this is another thing. Because they schooled in Ogun State, Abeokuta, and education wasn't a joke. Like, when my sisters came back, even now when we gist about it, and they're telling me how, like, Omo, if you were not reading, senior can even, like, punish you, because why the hell are you not reading? Do you get it? Was a very strong thing over there. Like, it's a very, I feel like it's part of, like, the Yoruba culture itself, wanting to be the best, you know, putting the work and doing that and not wasting your parents' money. It's kind of part of the Yoruba culture, kind of. And compared to the North, where I feel like it's more chill, and this is not me being tribalistic or whatnot, I'm a Yoruba girl, but I live in the North, and this is my own experience. I have rarely seen schools in the North, secondary schools, that were very, like, except for Zamani College, and maybe one or two that I can't remember at this point, but Zamani College are known for their excellence. And I know that, yes, like, the school, other people have something else to say about the school, but if we are honest, it's one of the schools that you can say, okay, they are very interested in, like, top tier education as well as top tier extracurricular stuff. They're the ones going for every competition, all these big competitions and whatnot. Do you get? I may be Turkish, but I would like to reserve my opinion about Turkish. I didn't go to Turkish, Nigerian Turkish, so that's Nigerian Tulip International School. I didn't go to there, but my sister did, and just based on conversations that we've had, I feel like they're also into the in extracurricular stuff. But there are some things that I don't want to, like, I reserve my comments about. But compared to the, you know, over there, where it's like in Abeokuta, for example, most schools, according to the, you know, based on the my siblings' experience, they are very intense when it comes to education, like, very intense. Somebody would get, like, 12 position out of 25 students, and if you just think about it, you'd be like, okay, maybe 12 position, like, your percentage, your aggregate would be like around, maybe, I don't know, maybe 50, maybe you're like mid kind of average student, but you go and check the percentages and it's like 70-80 and your 12th position, because 109 first position is only 99, is on 199, second position is only 99, third position is like 98-97. This is, can you see what I'm trying to say? But all that to say, all things are not lost. The thing is, I've realized about growing up, is the fact that you can't blame the institution as much as you would naturally be inclined to, because at the end of the day, everybody has sense. And we live in a very revolving world. Like, you have TV, you have access, you have internet, you have access to the other parts of the world. If you know you need to get something and nobody's bringing it for you, you have to go. There's this saying, if the mountain won't come to Muhammad, Muhammad will go to the mountain. And in my religion, it's said that you have to find knowledge even if you have to go to China. So let's say my school isn't doing all this extracurricular stuff and whatnot, but you have the access to internet, you have access to television, TV, all these movies that you watch, and you see all these other students in the films doing this and that. You should know that you are lacking, you know? There's nothing wrong in you, like, going to find extracurricular stuff to add to your secondary school, you know, especially if you're trying to study abroad. In Nigeria, you can get away with it. When you're trying to study abroad, these are things that set you apart from other students. And when I say go to find other stuff to put on your CV, or just go to find other stuff that give you skills and experience, I would talk later on it before the end of this episode, because there's something I would like to say about that. But that's about number one. So number two is be involved in your community. It kind of ties down to number one, but other than that, it's also something that you can use as an advice point if you're in university at the moment. You see, university, you might get carried away, especially if you're doing a very intense like course. You might get carried away and again focus only on academic. But the thing is, in school, whether it's secondary school or university, academics do not really go that long away. Obviously, that's the reason why you're going to school. Yeah, you have to get your academics right. However, in the real world, when companies and associations and whatnot are looking for well-rounded people, they don't only focus on academics. And even if they did, try to improve yourself. I'm always an advocate for like trying to improve your personal growth and development. Even if, let's say in the future, like in the real world, all these companies you want to be employed into do not care about the other extracurricular stuff that you've done or whatnot, these should be things that you should try to get for your own self-development. So what I mean when I say be involved in your community, don't just go to uni. If you're in uni right now, it's not too late, especially if you're on your final year, because final year, I totally get it. You're packed with coursework, thesis, whatnot, so that's fine. But if you're on your final year and you're in university right now, and you've never volunteered for anything, you've never interned anywhere, you didn't join any group or associations, you're very wrong, actually. You're doing a very big disservice to yourself. You should join something. I went to University of Leicester, and University of Leicester, there was this group. I don't know if I can use the term group, but when we're looking at when we're looking at groups in University of Leicester, we had over 100 groups, quote unquote communities, and there was this group that come together to eat chicken nuggets. That's the only thing they did. Once a month, they came together, they ate chicken nuggets. This is a well-rounded group, mind you. They have like a president, a vice president, everything that a normal group would have. But you can see these people that came together to eat chicken nuggets. And I say that not to like put them down, but what I'm trying to prove, the point I'm trying to make, is that the group doesn't have to be something that is like, oh my God, so prim and proper, oh my God, so stressful, oh my day. You can just have a group like that. It's, you are chilling in the group, but you have something that shows that, okay, you are not just focused on the educational part of it. You can spin it any which way you want to do. Any which way you want to. In your CV, you might as well just write something. Oh yeah, I was in a group that did this. My roles in the group I was responsible for the money keeping, you know, for the finances. I was responsible for collecting finances from people, because we have like a monthly whatever, you know. You can make it like sound nice. Oh, I was in charge for making sure procuring the assets and whatnot. It just depends on how you spin it around, jiggets. But you in uni and university, especially if you're in a new city or a new country and whatnot, and you're not doing anything, you're just a triangular student. You go to your house, go to the shop, go to school. Go to your house, go to the shops, go to school. I feel like you're not really doing yourself well. You are not. Honestly, you should join something, join a group, join a society, be part of your community. On school, if you can work, do that. If you can't work, volunteer somewhere. During your summer break, intern somewhere. Why are you rushing to Nigeria for? That's one thing I used to do when I was in uni that was really bad, but I didn't do that later. In my first year, whenever we had a break, especially summer break, I would just run back to Nigeria. Why? When I think about it, I am really regretting it, because I could have been earning me some monies. I could have been traveling. I could have been seeing the other parts of Europe. I could have been traveling. I could have been earning me some money, getting some summer internship somewhere. These are things that would have boosted my CV at one point or another. So don't do that to yourself. Don't just be a triangular student of just go to school, go to the shops, go to wherever. Like, do something. Meet people as well. You know, don't be those Nigerian students that go abroad, for example, and don't talk to other races. Don't try to, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't try to mingle with people. They invite you places you don't go. You just stay in your room all the time. But as well, be doing, why don't you just do online classes? Why are you in another state or another country? Go and see the place. Like, what's, even if you're in Nigeria and you were born and raised in Kaduna, and you find yourself in, I don't know, University of Lagos, but you're always in your house, you're always on the mainland with your school, you don't go anywhere, that don't make no sense. Take some time out, see some gallery, go to a place, go out to eat. If you don't have money, that's fine. Go to places that are, there are many places that are free. There are different exhibitions that are open, poetry reading, literary stuff. Go to the beach, like, go and experience the place. You know, when I was in law school, at least me and my friends, we didn't do as much as we would have hoped to do, especially me, because of different things. But at least I got to see, like, the Pottery Village. I went to Osuma Dam. I went around Buhari and stuff like that. That's how it should be. Forget about being an introvert. You be an introvert in your own time. These things, you don't need to do them lera, as you would say. You don't have to do them back to back. In a semester, you might go to one or two places. You know, you don't have to sacrifice your sanity as an introvert to do that, because that's something that I can relate to. So yeah, that's not about number two. Number three is, don't compare yourself with anybody. Comparison is the beginning of sadness. That's what I used to say. Do not compare. Healthy competition is different from comparison. You don't have any reason why you should be comparing yourself to another person. This person is who they are and you are who you are. That's completely two different things. Yoruba people say akinfi agualagosare, which means you shouldn't be running your race with somebody else's clock. You don't know what they have in the future. You know, you don't know where they're coming from. It literally can't be the same. Even twins have different destinies. You can't literally, forget about like some metaphorical reason why you shouldn't do that. Literally, it can't be the same. You are two different people individually, so why should you compare? And forget me, I didn't say that you shouldn't have competition. Healthy competition is always very good because it motivates you, it keeps you on your toes, it makes you try to be better and whatnot. But like comparison, oh, this person has this, so I should have that. Oh, this person did this. See, what happens is you wouldn't be living your life, and the person you're comparing yourself with is so engrossed with their life that they will keep succeeding. And when they keep succeeding, that will pain you and turn your comparison to envy, envy to jealousy, and then you're just green with like bad vibes. You get, and the person will keep progressing and you are there like still comparing, oh, I do everything, this person, because you're running after them while they are running after their future. So don't do that. You have no reason to. Your life is not bad. No matter how bad your life, you think your life is, somebody has it worse. And there's somebody that is looking at you and be like, oh, alhamdulillah, like, you know, I would wish, you know, this person has good, like, you know, you're always a prayer point one way or another. You should just be grateful to God and thankful. If you want to help indulge in healthy competition, you can do that. If you don't want to be grateful, thankful, face your front and focus on what you have in front of you. That's a mistake that a lot of people have, you know. They feel the need to compare themselves. Oh, especially like, and I totally get it, but like, especially when you're done with uni and everything, maybe you have friends who have leg and they're already working good jobs and you're like, oh, this person, we finished together, oh, I'm better than this person, and this person has XYZ, this person has started working here, this person has a car, I don't, this person has a phone, I don't. First and foremost, I feel like the concept of you being better than somebody just off of their qualification, that is a very narcissistic and very interesting concept to me personally, because it's very hard to kind of gauge what makes you think you're better than them. Because you can finish with a first class, okay, so they finish with a third class, but they have mad experience with internships, they have mad experience working while in uni, which shows that they're able to multitask and still get the fucking job done. They have mad experience with communities, with, you know, outreach programs, they volunteered abroad, or they did a lot of things. So how would you gauge your being better than them? That's just me tying my first point and second point together. How do you gauge that you're better than them? Just how? Okay, so you did all this volunteering stuff, but they did some internship. Like, it's not easy to gauge. And even if you guys have the same level playing field, like, they went to the same school you went to, they got the same grade you got, they went to the same internship and volunteering and NGO and whatnot, at the end of the day, that's their destiny. They might look good right now, you don't know where they're headed. They might be in a position because allow alarm, God is using that position to teach them a lesson. Do you want God to focus on you and start teaching you a lesson that you are not even supposed to be learning? Is that what you want? You see what I'm saying about comparison? You don't know, the person might have a car, but astaghfirullah, God forbid, you don't know, the person might actually, that car is leading them to the accident that will kill, take their life. Do you want the car now, brother? Do you really want the car? Or maybe the car is actually a beautiful blessing and it's leading them to their future wife. You don't know anything. Everybody's life is planning, going exactly how it's supposed to go. So my dear honey, do not compare yourself. be very grateful to God. Alhamdulillah, if you've done everything you're supposed to do, even if you haven't done everything you're supposed to do, have faith that, you know, your future is going to unravel itself. At most, focus on building yourself. Forget about every other person. Focus on yourself. Focus on what's in front of you. Focus on building yourself, and you will see that you start succeeding, because you don't have time to start beating yourself down. You don't have time to start wishing for something that you shouldn't be wishing for. You don't have time to start chasing somebody or running your race to other people's club. My dear, please get out of here with that bullshit. Next is value your platonic relationships. Now we're going to the parts of like mid-20s. I don't know. It depends on you, how your life is going. For me, I didn't learn to start not valuing, because I've always valued my relationships, but I didn't learn to start being vulnerable with my relationships until I was like mid-20s. I feel like for the most part, I've always been that person that was very like vocal about how, you know, I was made to feel, especially if I cared about the relationship. You know, I am usually quiet in instances where I don't give two shits about the person, or, you know, if I have to deal with you for a long time, then obviously I have to be vocal for my own peace of mind. But for my circle, I'm always like, okay, so you did this, why did you do that? And I found that the best way to address stuff, in order not to make it awkward, is the second it happens. So yeah, the next thing is appreciating my platonic relationships. There's my friend groups and friendships and stuff like that. I find that in our society right now, it has been like this for a while, Sha. But in the society right now, people are more appreciative of romantic relationships and romantic entanglements. Is a thing where it's like, okay, this is your boyfriend. It's like, you know, this is your husband. It's supposed to be treated like the ultimate, you know, in your life. However, I find that what people fail to remember is your friends were there before this person came into your life. Yes, they may be so important and whatnot, but your friends were there before this person came to your life. Your friends had to deal with your pain, your happiness, your joy, your erratic moments and whatnot. That being said, honestly, I feel like my friends for me are closer. Really, agree or not, that's your opinion. But my friends to me are closer, maybe more important. And so I treat them as such. It wasn't until later in my 20s, but not so late actually, like 22, 23, that I started like putting them first, prioritizing them, celebrating them especially. Like, it's not as if I was a very wicked friend, but I became more intentional with my platonic relationships, more intentional with expression with them, with spending time, with spending money, I just love my friends, you know, and it's something that I would advise people not to forget. Just because of your boyfriend or girlfriend, yes, that relationship is equally as important. However, don't forget your friends, no matter what you do. I won't advise you to. And I feel like I just became very comfortable with the idea that I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And that is the beginning of peace. For me, that was the beginning of peace. Because I feel like a lot of times growing up, like, because of my past traumas and childhood traumas and whatnot, I grew up just not being able to, you know, I grew up afraid that people wouldn't, not really afraid this thing, but, you know, being aware that, okay, people might not really like me and stuff like that. But in my adulthood, I came to realize that it's okay if they don't. You're not going to be everybody's cup of shit. I'm sorry. I said it wrong. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea, is what I'm trying to say. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. And I became very comfortable and tolerant of the fact that aware of the fact that even if somebody doesn't necessarily like what you're about, in sense of like want you to be their very good friend, it's fine. It doesn't mean that they hate you. Because right now, I feel like I don't know if I have it in me to have a new friend, like in my friend group. I feel like I'm close for business when it comes to friendship. But if somebody was trying to be my friend right now, in as much as I might not be emotionally available to be one of your very good friends, it doesn't mean that we can't chat and hang. It doesn't mean that I want you to die, or it doesn't mean that I want you to absolutely your life should capsize, is what I'm trying to say. It just means that I don't have the emotional capacity right now to be your friend, but I would support you nonetheless, and that is it. So this is something I feel like I'm still learning, and it's really nice as well. I feel like I just realized that, you know, we're all afraid to be vulnerable, but do you know what makes me happy? If you are all afraid to be vulnerable, then, and nobody's willing to be the big guy between you guys, you guys are both missing out. Because in as much as they might not want to return that favor, or they might not want to return that friendship, or whether it's relationship or whatnot, what if they actually feel the same way and they're just shy, you know? So right now I feel like I have matured relationships with my friends, where it's like we know exactly. I feel like I am not in any gray area, because we have exhausted those awkwardness of not being expressive to the point where, even if, you know, I know that she's my person, do you get? That's what I'm trying to say. So, and now I feel like with my other friends as well, it's not a gray area. It's not a me second guessing my position in their lives, and it's a very good feeling as well. I feel like it's just something about adult friendships, especially when you have those guys that are like, those are your guys, you know, your main tribe, your main people. It shouldn't be like that. There shouldn't be anybody holding back, I feel like. So that's one thing I've come to realize about like platonic relationships and friendships. Now I was going to do a talk about like romantic relationships, but the thing is, I had this conversation with my sister like a few minutes before I decided to record, but I don't know if it's a TMI conversation or if I should probably do it in another podcast. So I'm going to really, 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 really chew my words when I talk about like romantic relationships. But it's kind of the same thing with the platonic relationships, or let me just say relationships with people that care for you in a romantic kind of way. I feel like you shouldn't hold back necessarily, but I feel like there's a game that boys and girls play that is just, I don't know, it's something that I can't really say don't play the games, because playing the games really like open you up to a lot of information that you would otherwise not know. But at the same time, not playing the game, I don't know, I feel like I'm just going to skip that part. I'm going to talk about it in another podcast, because it's a lot to unpack. But despite my saying that, I would just say, be true to yourself. But for me personally, because of, again, the way I grew up in my trauma and whatnot, I wasn't very vocal about how I felt with people who might have really liked me and stuff like that. But I feel like now I'm quite vocal about the way I feel, and I'm also expressive. People that I would have otherwise, normally the old Hikma would have regretted showing them that kind of vulnerability, but the Hikma of today, the Hikma that grew up, the Hikma that is healing, I don't regret being vulnerable, because I just let myself feel what I feel. And it's your loss if you ruined that. It's not my loss, because not everybody is strong enough to allow themselves to feel something and feel it so completely and wholly that it doesn't limit their expressiveness. Do you get? So if you can't get with that, then, well, oops, I don't know what you want me to do. I feel like I've just grown and realized in this 20s that my authentic self is just where I want to be generally. So I'm just going to leave that at that. Going to my next point is setting boundaries. While I've been vocal from the jump about what I would take, what I wouldn't take, I knew that I didn't like this person, I like this person, It wasn't until later on in my 20s that I feel the vibe of adult, like I'm an adult, so I shouldn't take all this bullshit that people think they can hand to me. Even though I am an adult, trust me, sometimes most of the time I have to have pep talks with myself to remind myself, girl, you are an old woman. Like, you're not a baby, you're not a child. You shouldn't take this, you shouldn't take that. Because half the time I just feel like I don't attach an age to myself. I'm just Hikma. I'm Hikma who likes to jump, who likes to dance, who's a weirdo, who is goofy, who is beautiful, who is intelligent, who is sexy, who is smart, who's, you know, I can just keep going. But like, I don't feel a certain age. I don't feel the certain need to act a certain way. But sometimes I have to remind myself, because people actually try me. You know, people try to try me. And for the longest time, people would say things like, oh, you're so soft, oh, you're a mushy girl, oh, you're... And I used to feel so offended. I don't know why, but I felt so offended about it, because I felt like people would take me for granted. I felt like if someone said, oh, you're such a nice person, oh, you're such a, like, a mushy girl, you are those people, you are very nice. Like, I didn't see it as a compliment. I felt like people were telling me that I am somebody that they can take advantage of. But it wasn't, again, in my 20s, like mid-20s, that I'm realizing that actually this is not such a bad thing. And now, going into my late 20s, I don't give a damn what you think. You see, it's like an evolving cycle. But the thing I would say to advise you guys who are not quite where I am right now is that it's okay, actually, to be a nice person. There are not many nice people in the world. Not a narcissistic type of nice where you keep saying, oh, I'm a nice person. That's not what I'm saying. If you are genuinely a nice person, that's okay. If you're genuinely a lover girl, because I am, I'm a romantic lover girl. That's who I am. I can't change it. That's okay. If people come to you and, or like people feel the need to tell you that, okay, sorry about the noise, guys. There's this trailer that passes my house. So anyways, if people feel the need to tell you that, oh, you're such a nice person, like you're a lover girl, you're a goofy girl, you're this, you're mushy, oh, I didn't know you're like, all those things are good. They're not bad qualities to have. But you see, for me, maybe because of these things, people think they can try me. As much as I'm a nice lover girl, goofy girl, oh, I'm such a mushy girl, I'm nice and whatnot, you don't want to try me because I am mad dangerous. I swear to God, I will fuck a bitch up. That's okay. There should be a balance to get. And because of that, I have now learned to set my boundaries. I learned that in the past, because now I actually don't care. You get exactly what you give with me. I'm sorry, I pack a meat punch. But I set my boundaries. The first time I ever told somebody, you can't talk to me like that, well, I was 24. And I couldn't, even when I said it, I feel like I had been pushed to the brink. Because I was like, you can't talk to me like that. Like, what? I am not going to listen to you talk to me like that. That is part of setting your boundaries. Don't let people think for once that they can try you, is what I'm telling you. Especially as a girl. If you don't like people, if you don't like a certain person, you're not comfortable with a certain person in your space, say it. Mean it. If you're not comfortable with a certain person, like calling you, talking to you, touching on you, like, don't accept it. Trust me, you don't owe anybody. You don't owe a man or a woman. You don't owe anybody to be nice about disrespecting you. You don't. What's the actual fudge? You don't. So, my dear, this is not the time for one of those, oh, I was shy and... No. I swear, like, when you go into your adulthood, that's when you realize that I like what I like, I said what I said. It's a real thing, my dear. So definitely don't set your boundaries, even with friendships, relationships, everything. People should know exactly when to stop. Because, trust me, humans, the way humans are wired, if you give them an inch, they will take a whole mile. So that's about that. Next is sacrifices and dreams. A plan should be a plan. I know I might sound very old. Hashtag Gen Z, hashtag it's giving, hashtag all the Gen Z, whatever. But you see, in the real world, except you want to be living under a bridge, except you want to be house hopping, except you want to be couch hopping, your father knows some otedola that would taste your uncle, it don't be giving in the real world. It really don't. See, I'm all for mental health. I'm all for doing what exactly you want to do. Trust me, there's no bigger advocate for living your life on your own terms than me. However, I am realistic enough to know that, baby girl, just up and quitting your job and going into the sunset, sometimes, my dear, that's not a plan. Even if you wanted to do that, it should be a plan. If you want to have dream, because for me, I want to retire by 40. Honestly, I'm trying to just be chilling on some beach somewhere, traveling, living the life, that's the kind of life I want. So realistically, you have to be able to sacrifice. This is the time to sacrifice. It's time to break your back walking because of your future. Don't let anybody tell you something like, oh, don't worry, it's giving. No, actually, honey, that's not real life. Jicket. If you want to quit your job, let's say you're not happy where you are, that's totally fine and understandable. I don't feel like I need to kill myself because of some people who bat two eyes if I was dead. The most that anybody would do if I died today is come to my parents and apologize and tell them, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. I like Jikanta, may her soul rest in peace. And that's fine, that's human for you. So for those type of people, for people who wouldn't actually ultimately think about, I don't know why you're breaking your back for them. That being said, if you want to quit your job, for example, that should be a plan. Honey, we're going to take 2 months off. We're going to chill, wake up, go to the gym, have fun, just do nothing for 2 months. But after those 2 months, we're going to start looking for another job. We're going to have done our business plan. We're going to have done a proposal. We're going to have started an online job, maybe a freelancing, maybe a hustle. Something. That's a plan. And I'm telling you, my dear, that's an adulthood for you. That's adulthood for you. Except you want to be a baby girl and sugar baby. Like, really, I'm telling you, like, if your family is not so rich, or you're not trying to be a sugar baby, or you're not trying to, your plan is not to be hopping couches in people's houses, if you actually want to have a fulfilling future, everything that you do should be a plan. Even your enjoyment should be planned. I planned this podcast this last week. Actually, I've recorded like 3 sets that I didn't like, and I'm doing this again. This is adulthood. And I think, so far so good, I think I'm good with this one. Let's see how it goes. But this is adulthood. So, my dear ones, I don't want to hear anything about, just doing what the fuck. It doesn't work in real life. Yo, it doesn't work. Bread is now 500. What am I saying? If you go to the limit, 700. I don't know how I want to eat. So yeah, my next thing on my list is to start taking care of yourself. Skincare, gym, physically, spiritually, mentally. See, as a child, but in your teenage years and whatnot, except somebody is trying to come at your parents, you don't really have spiritual problems that young, except if it's a family thing. But when you get into your 20s, your destiny kind of sets in. The path to your destiny sets in. This is me just thinking, I didn't read it anyway. Based on my own spiritual awareness, I feel like your destiny kind of like sets in. What you're going to do with your life sets in. You have enemies, or maybe not enemies, but you have evil eye. You work in a place where people might not necessarily be giving you the right energy. You work in a place where people might hate you under G. You have friends that are also full of fake friends, You begin to maybe by mistake offend some woman randomly. You start having emotional problems, is what I'm trying to tell you. And spiritual problems. This is not the time for you to be chill. Your 20s is when you need to bring God into your life. You need to manifest holiness. You need to start your tahajjud. You need to start fasting Monday and Thursday if you can. You need to start doing askar. You need to start being aware of God. as a child, before you get to 10, your sins, you practically don't sin. But now you are sinning up and down, sinning in private, sinning in public. This is where you need to like ask God for forgiveness. I'm telling you my own, like how I think. I feel like your 20s is when you need to be closer to God. It's when you need to start fighting your own battles as well. Your parents, obviously, I see my mom doing tahajjud. She pray for us, yes. But this is where you need to have your voice close to God, honestly speaking. Take it from me. So my dear, this is where you need to start taking care of yourself spiritually, mentally, by setting your boundaries. Know what you take in, what you don't take into your space. My sister has this habit, and it's a good one actually. She filters everything that she assimilates. Like anything that is coming into her mind, she filters it. She's the kind of person that on Instagram, everything that she doesn't want to be part of her energy, she will say, don't show me this, I'm not interested in this. She watches every single thing that she assimilates, and that's something I do too. And that's something that you should learn to inculcate. Your mental health. If a person is bringing you negative energy, please, why are they still your friend? That's not even your friend. That's Thanos. Why? Just why? It doesn't make sense. This is the age to start removing things that shouldn't matter. Things, people that shouldn't be part of your space. Energies that is just not clean. You know, start removing them from your front. And emotionally as well. Take care of yourself. I meditate a lot. I do a lot of retrospective thinking. I'm a kind of person that I don't necessarily need a lot of people's advice, just because I talk to myself and I give myself the best advice. I feel like I still talk to people because I would like to hear the perspective. But when I say I give myself advice, I don't just mean advice. I mean like I tell myself when I have been doing nonsense. You know, I go into the world, I go to work and everything, but when I come back, especially maybe after, not every day necessarily, but when I feel like I have a backlog of weird emotions that I haven't engaged with, I meditate and I ask myself, why do you feel the way you feel? What is it about that person? What is it about that scenario? I tell myself, you did well. I tell myself, Hikma, I don't agree with you on this one. You should apologize tomorrow, or you should ask the person that you've hurt if, you know, you should try to sort it out. And I feel like this is something that I would advise a lot of people to start doing, you know. Emotionally take care of yourself, physically take care of yourself. You start aging at 25, honey, hit the gym if you need to. That sugar, you don't need it. That extra ice cream, you don't need it. That extra serving, you actually don't. This is something I struggle with. Well, I don't struggle with it, but the thing is I am going through my own personal stuff, which makes me very, you know, peckish when it comes to stuff like that. Weight and weight loss is something that I struggle with, but I'm aware enough to know that, okay, see, once I hit a certain kg on that scale, it's a wrap. Like, I have to get my life, that's a final kg. Like, I have this thing where there's a kg that if I enter that kg or more, nah man. But before I enter the kg, I might be messing up, it's fine. But once I climb that scale and I see that kg, no, we're going back to the gym. No matter what, no matter where I am mentally, I'm going back to the gym. It's a pact that I have made with myself. So you see, this is how I try to find my own pockets of sanity. This is when you need to start going to the gym. You need to start watching your weight, your sugar intake, salt intake, everything. Diabetics is not a joke, bruv. You know, physically. And you age at 25, that retinol, you need to get it. Get you a retinoid, get you some sunscreen. Your face is blacker than your neck. I also have that issue of sunscreen, so I got me a sunscreen. Get a sunscreen, get you some retinoid, get you a serum, a toner, all those things. It might sound like a lot of work, but it's something that is equally important, I feel. So you have to start taking care of your physical appearance. Not because of a man, not because of a husband, not because of anything, but because of yourself. And yes, we would all die and age and whatnot. But even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask for the best in this world and hereafter. Please, why? If I'm going to be on this earth, even if I'm going to die tomorrow, I'm here now, am I not? When I look nice, people see me and say, mashallah, are they not? It's a sadaqah to myself. So yeah, definitely do that. It's when you should start taking care of yourself. Next is intentional living. It's all part of, I feel like, taking care of yourself as well. But I have just started being intentional about how I live my life. You know, intentional about my clothes that I want to dash away, intentional about my bed, I need to like change it late, whatever. Those are little ways you can be intentional. Intentional about people around you, people surrounding you, people in your space. Intentional about the things that you take in to yourself. Your body is a temple. Let it be a temple. Holy. Mentally, physically, everything. Be intentional. Be intentional with people. Let them see, we can take it from somebody that has a chronic illness that can unalive her at any moment. There shouldn't be a space. How I see it, I want to die clean. When I say die clean, I mean I don't want to leave any stone unturned. I try as much as possible to live my life like that. So if I've had an altercation with somebody during the day that is like my person, if I go to bed, or maybe after that, when I calm down, I go and apologize. It's not about being a bigger person, it's just doing what is right. Do you get? Are you okay? Are you good? Did I offend you? These are things that you should have with you. Please, sorry, thank you. These are things that you should do. Like, guy, you're an adult. You're becoming an adult. You can't apologize. And sometimes I hate when I hear people say, just apologize for the future. Just apologize. Just. It's not about just apologizing. It's not about just say sorry so we can move. No. You are not, I feel like, not being able to see that you are wrong or right is the narcissistic quality. Why do you think, like, we can both be right? It's a different perspective. We can both be wrong. It's a different perspective. But there's nothing wrong about voicing the fact that, okay, I see where you're coming from. While I don't necessarily agree to a point, I understand where you're coming from, and that makes sense. I have talks with people, and when maybe I misconstrued, they say, when I can, people do this thing, I'll be talking to somebody, maybe I'm saying the right thing, or let me flip it. So I'm talking to somebody, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, I know where I was coming from, I know where she's coming from, she knows where she's coming from, we're trying to talk, I didn't let myself listen to what she was saying because I was very sure of what was coming out of my mouth. We had a conversation, I said my point, she said her point. When I said something, I can see that she was like, okay, I see where you're coming from. When she said something later, the conversation changed to, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't get where you are, what you're talking about exactly, but I now get it, I see where you're coming from, you're right. This is an adult conversation. So it's really, you should learn how to have this type of conversations. See where the other person is coming from. See where you're coming from. Agree to disagree or agree, because now you realize they are right and you have been chatting shit since morning. And let them have it. There are some people that you'll be talking to. They can clearly see that you are wrong. But because of what, I don't know if it's pomposity, shoulder upness, egoistic, I don't know what it is, they can never admit to the fact that they were wrong. My dear, this is not a tendency for a wrinkle-free adult. This is a wrinkled adult tendencies. So you should check into that. And finally is enjoying life, enjoying yourself, because you are becoming, you're on a journey, you're becoming. This is my story of becoming Hikma. So why wouldn't I enjoy myself? I enjoy myself now. I make it a point, if I want to hang out with my friends, let's go and do that. It's also part of intentional living. I enjoy the little pockets of happiness I get throughout the day. Happiness is not an everlasting feeling for someone like me. However, when things that would give me happiness happen, I allow them to happen. I revel in them happening. Like, you know, the fact that you woke up is something to be happy about. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy in that moment. When I see my junior sister smile, it makes me happy. I'm happy in that moment. When I go outside and watch people, it makes me happy. When I see the sun, it makes me happy. Live your life. I celebrate my people. We go out to have lunch. It might not be convenient for us financially or time speaking, but it's something that we enjoy to do. We enjoy to live life. We organize picnics and we go. Like, I've been going on picnics. I have been going out to eat with my friends. We've been going to the gym, quote unquote. These are things that, you know, make me feel like I'm celebrating life, so I engage in them. So in my 20s, I realized that, you know, I should indulge in those things. As much as I'm an introvert, like, trust me, staying in my house, like today, for example, is giving me so much joy. You have no idea. But allowing myself to enjoy other things is also fine, is what I'm trying to tell you. So if you're coming into your adulthood and you're coming into your late 20s or even coming into 20s at all, these are things that you should be, you should have at the back of your mind. I feel like I'm going to do another kind of this type of podcast. I'm going to call it 10 mistakes I made in my 20s. I feel like they go hand in hand. I'm going to do this 20 series, let's see. But all that to say, I hope you guys are enjoying your life. Try to. And tomorrow is the gubernatorial election. So I may or may not be voting. Don't stone me. I'm still thinking about it. I don't have any particular candidate in mind. Honestly, I don't know anything about either of them. And I'm sure that, you know, just to see the problem with Nigeria, it's like it's almost a two-party system. I don't know why we bother at this point. But I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I will know if I'm going to go or not. But yeah. Oh, it was nice talking to you guys. I'm going to do whatever it is I can do. Now it's 10:14 in the morning. It's Friday, 17th of March. And yeah. I'll talk to you guys when I talk to you guys next. I hope that you are able to take something away from this episode. Oh, I'm back. Not to lose. By the way, do not forget to like, share, engage with Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl content across all listening platforms. You can engage with us on Spotify. It allows me to ask a question or a poll, and you guys please reply. It gives me energy, honestly. That's the fuel to my continuing. If you get what I'm saying. Follow us on MOTNG_ on Instagram. Engage with our content. I am the OG editor, host, everything. That's me. So please, you guys should show some love, is what I'm trying to say. Anyways, toodles for real right now. Have a great day. Toodles.